Episode 217, November 2nd, 2015.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
It's a Robbie free show. Is that going to be good or bad, Joe?
Oh, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. It's just pressure free, no stress. If there's a technical issue, we'll just stop and start over. No one will get yelled at. You know, yes, it's definitely a good thing.
Yeah, I'm very relaxed so far. I think this is going to be good. There's no tension. Welcome to the show.
Sorry, I actually want there to be a technical issue so he can see how Marcus reacts. That's what I want to happen. I want there to be some static or an echo, and Marcus go, hey guys, there's a little bit of a technical issue. Let me just call you back. And then he calls back, and then the show's fine. That's what I want to happen.
You mean he won't do what Robbie does, where he yells at you even though you have no idea that you don't sound good?
And he screams,
Rob, come on, it's not sounding good. I know how I sound to you guys.
And he screams out the F word during a live show a billion times.
Have you got an update from him in Taiwan?
I looked that he changed his profile picture on Facebook to his dog and his cat. I didn't know what that meant. Did he take his dog and cat to Taiwan?
I don't know.
They'll eat those fuckers over there. You can't. I'm just kidding. No, I saw that and I'm like, well, that happened while he was in Taiwan.
Well, he's only been there, I guess, a couple days now.
Well, I mean, how long does it take? It takes a day to get there.
Yeah. And it's 12 hours, 13 hours ahead. So
I don't even know what time he left.
I think he left Friday at like 1 p.m. And he probably got there. It was like Saturday night or something.
Well, if he hears this show, email us an update, Robbie. Email us what's going on.
Imagine he'll give us an update at some point. But there's probably not a lot to update at this point. He's probably been there 48 hours, maybe 36.
Well, he's going to come back with amazing stories.
You think so? Because, I tried to convey this last week, but this trip sounds awful to me. It sounds so boring.
Of course. You're going there. All the people that you know there barely speak English. Everybody else around you. He says, yeah, people learn English. No, they don't. You know, different English is than Chinese or Mandarin or whatever the hell they speak.
And Robbie is one who needs routine. He's not going to have any of his routine.
Yeah, it's not like here, they don't have a Chinese channel. What's he going to watch? People don't understand. We talk about it on here a lot. It's not hyperbole. Robbie loves TV. He doesn't like it. And he doesn't even really like it. He loves it. He would rather be watching TV than doing almost anything.
Yeah.
And now he's 3 weeks with basically only Taiwanese television.
You know,
I bet he watches hours of television where they're not speaking English.
Netflix might not work there. It doesn't work in every country.
I didn't think about that.
Because I've tried to get it.
Well, it doesn't matter. He doesn't have that kind of Netflix, remember?
Oh, that's right. If you remember from a couple months ago, Tawanda still cracks up at this, that Robbie doesn't have the streaming Netflix. He just has the one where you mail, you get a DVD mailed to you that you have to mail it back because he thinks that's easier.
I think that's more expensive.
Well, I think it's more everything. It's more of a pain in the ass.
Do you know anybody other than my brother that has that Netflix?
Well, there's probably people that don't have internet. But other than that, if you have internet, it doesn't make sense.
I do know people
that have the where they take the actual DVD and put it into removable media and put it into the DVD player. Do you even have a DVD player? I don't.
No, these people who are actually Blu-ray. Still subscribed to it, they work actually at the senior housing center.
Okay, and that makes sense.
Yeah, that's what they do that for. They help the old people watch movies.
Hey, some good news, some cool comments I want to read. We got a lovely message from Melissa on our Facebook page. After hearing you on the Michael Mara show, I decided to download a few of your shows this weekend. I enjoyed the first few so much that I listened to over 10 shows this weekend. You are both very funny. I look forward to your next episode and your next appearance on TMOS. P.S. It would be great if Mike, Oscar, and Rob came on your show.
Yeah, it would be great. Idea. They're not going to do that. I don't think we get, I mean, we might be able to get Rob and Oscar on, but I don't think Mike's going to come on.
Do you think it would be easier to get Matt Damon on our show or Mike O'Mara?
It's got to be easier to get Mike O'Mara. You got to go a little bit lower.
All right.
An A-lister.
Joe Flacco, Baltimore Ravens.
Hmm. So, you know, I have some connections in different ways. I think it would be about the same. I'm not kidding. Because I have a relationship not just with 98 Rock, but also with somebody who has a direct relationship with him.
Yeah, okay.
So I think it would probably be, I think it might be just as easy. Well, no, because I know Mike has Skype. I don't know that Joe Flacco has Skype.
I'm sure he does. Yeah.
Well, that would be the key.
Yeah.
If Joe Flacco has Skype, I think it's the same.
Couple things on our iTunes, and please go to our iTunes, give us 5 stars if you feel we deserve it, and leave us a comment. A couple here recently, Crown Pointer 34, listen for funny, 5 stars. I heard about these guys on TMOS and was not disappointed, but they aren't Mermelstein. We are not Mermelstein.
No, we're not.
Bob Bash, 5 stars. Love these guys. Thank you guys for that. Please go on our iTunes and Stitcher, however you listen. Give us some positive reviews.
Well, can
and
I say
you,
this?
Thank you, Melissa Booker.
If you think we deserve a 4, give us a 5 anyway, because there are people out there, one person in particular, just trying to sabotage us. So if you think we're a 4, it's only fair you give us a 5, so the 1 becomes a 2, right? I mean, that's legit.
Updates from last week. Thank you to Tommy Simbazo for coming on.
Oh, he's so funny.
Did an awesome job. Chris Restivo now wants to murder Tommy Simbazo as much as he wants to kill you, Joe. So you're in good company.
I don't think he wants to kill anybody as much as he wants to kill me, right? I think I'm number one. I mean, I have some direct messages from Chris Restivo.
Oh, I have them as well. And I guess doing a Chris Restivo impression is the thing people do these days. Our buddy RJ Jackson, remember him? The guy who had a girlfriend that Joe stole years ago.
He didn't have a girlfriend. He had a fiance.
That's all right. I keep making it not as bad. He had a fiance. He's going to have babies with and have a life. And Joe came in and wrecked a family. There was a show here locally called 30 Comics, One Cup. I guess it's 30 comics do like 3-5 minutes, whatever they want, or does the funniest job.
Yeah, it was
wins.
A pretty cool premise. Can I give it some love?
Sure.
So it was at High Tops in Timonium, and they had 30 comics that went up. And when the comics went up, you were allowed to heckle them. You were allowed to make noises. You were allowed to throw, like, confetti at them. You were allowed to just harass the hell out of them. And 30 comics competed. I have no idea if they did their act. But anyway, you were getting ready to say this, but I'll say now, RJ Jackson, friend of the show, did a Chris Restivo impression, and it was dead nuts. I mean, Tommy's is good, but... Tommy sounds like he's an impersonation I would do compared to RJ's. RJ's sounds exactly like him. And basically what RJ did was just say stuff that Restivo really says. He didn't really have to write anything. He did Joe Pesci and Robert De Niro having sex. He made tennis ball noises. He threatened to kill me. Yes. He just asked for a ride, whatever. He just was doing what Christopher Stevens would say in the course of a regular conversation. He said the F word to describe gays. I mean, that's all he did. And he destroyed and he won. He won the competition. Yes.
He went by the name Chris Mastivo. So I guess if you want to mock Restivo, just literally repeat what he says word for word with it, your impression, and people will love it.
Well, I said the impression was so good that I didn't laugh. That's how good he impersonated Chris Restivo. But I will say Chris Restivo has never gotten as much laughter doing the act that would other people do his act.
Not even close. No.
So what does that tell you? Chris should be a comedy writer. And just give his material to other people.
I want Chris to write. If he writes 5 minutes of material for me, I'll do it.
I guarantee you, you'll do it by first explaining that he wrote it. And I was thinking about RJ, and he had a piece of paper. So he wrote comedy for that show. And he did, I think it was about 3 or 4 minutes long. But he can never use it again. What's he going to do? Go on America's Got Talent with that? I mean, there's no other place you're going to use that.
This is it. Yeah. Well,
so
maybe.
He spent this time and invested it in writing this comedy that he'll never, ever, ever use again other than in Maryland local open mics. But he did win a pretty badass trophy. Hey, we should post a picture of it.
We'll post a picture of the trophy for sure.
It's like 3-4 feet high.
I had a cool week at the DC Improv with my buddy Tommy Davidson, 6 shows. He's all shows sold out. Tommy's from DC, so he really does well here locally, which also means that the green room is always packed. Every time there's like new people that like he grew up with that I've never met before. And so it's always just packed in there. His wife was there. I met her for the first time. So the show is a traditional show. Tock Moffat is your MC. We've mentioned him before. He's on the Murder Mystery Show. I'm your feature. Tommy's your headliner. I get there Thursday, and they said, yeah, this guy showed up that Tommy said he wants on the show. So he's going to be doing a guest spot every show. So for the early shows, we're going to cut your time to 15 minutes, but you'll get paid the same, so it doesn't really matter to me. Anyway, I'm like, that's fine. As long as you're going after me, I don't really care. You know, it's anything before me, I care. Anything after, do what you want.
Right.
So this guy, he looks familiar to me. His name is Flex, stage name. Flex, the bad guy. The microphone bully. It's another nickname for him.
His name is Flex, the bad guy. Let me guess, two
X's. It might be the bad guy, Flex. It might be. I've never seen it written, but I you know what? I always write it as two X's. Whenever, like in my notes, I wrote Flex, two X's.
White guy? Just kidding.
No. And I was like, I know that guy. And then I figured it out. A few months ago, there is this there's this comedy room in somewhere in PG County near DC. It's called Martini's. It's a restaurant, lounge, bar. They do comedy. And a video went viral. It's got 1.4 million views on worldstarhiphop.com of this guy, Flex, on stage, having a back and forth with a heckler, who apparently the heckler's wife or girl was being disruptive the whole show. And one thing led to another. He starts talking about this guy's woman. The guy comes on stage.
Oh, and a bouncer hits the guy, right?
One of the comic's buddies comes up, boom, knocks him out.
Yes, I do remember. I've seen that.
So that's the guy. This guy's on the show now. So it's Tock, who is very, you know, innocent and clean.
Dark rim glasses, good looking, clean cut, right?
Yes. There's me, obviously. I'm what I am. And Tommy's not a dirty comic. And I mean, I get to tell some dirty jokes. And then this guy in there. And this guy comes out. He's got music cues. He has a baseball bat. And he goes, this is my good pussy detector. And he's pointing it. You, sir, got good pussy. DJ, hit that. And then some hip hop music comes on. He's
now,
dancing.
The DC Improv, I mean, it was I'm assuming they were black crowds, but the DC crowds are not like even the Baltimore crowds. Like, if he was doing that at the Baltimore Comedy Factory, they probably would have carried him off, you know, on a throne.
Right.
But how's this doing?
it's doing well. The crowd is generally like 80% black,
right?
Maybe 85%, but and there, so the white people are like, what is happening? But it's it is interesting to watch. So you really can't take your eyes off it. And then like half the black people are just going crazy, right? Right. And the other half are like, okay, this is interesting. But they're laughing. And but he'll just tell a joke and like, you look like Forrest Whitaker did this. DJ, cut that.
No, is the DJ like, God, I'm so stressed. Is it like Bill from the murder mystery just having to do music cues and back there stressed out?
Well, the first night it was his own guy doing it. And then the rest of it was this guy, Nathan, who's this new sound guy, who's super nice guy, but he is the whitest guy you've ever
right.
seen. So it's just funny him doing these cues. So then afterwards.
Can I interrupt for a second?
Yes.
You've been doing comedy a long time, so have I. Have you ever seen a guest set with music cues in your life?
No, no.
I mean, the one time we talked about that chick doing the 30-minute guest set, asking if anybody had any questions. What was her name? You know, the chick, Mickey's friend.
Tiffany Baker.
Right. That was a crazy thing. But music cues, I've never seen that. As a matter of fact, if you went to a club and say, hey, my buddy's going to do guest sets, and he goes, oh, I have music cues. Well, no, actually, you don't. We're not doing music cues for you. I can't believe they said yes.
Well, I think it's because somehow he knows Tommy, or he knows someone who knows Tommy. And that's how he was on the show. So I guess if the headliner okays it, then you kind of, the club does what the headliner wants, right, to a point. And afterwards, he has this T-shirt that he sells that it's for breast cancer, but the shirt has nothing to do with breast cancer. It's just a picture of him like pointing at you, saying, you don't tell me what to do, the microphone bully.
Did anybody buy this shirt?
People did. This is the thing. Microphone bully, bad guy flex, nicest guy in the world. Totally nice. Like, oh,
when you were off stage, he was the nicest guy.
Absolutely. Hey, awesome job. This is so much fun. Dude, you're doing great. Oh, this is so cool. Love this play. I mean, super friendly. I got along with him really well. But it's funny. It's like, why are you so angry? Why are you the bad guy? I don't understand. Like, what? You don't seem like, you seem like a very pleasant
person. I've seen that video too. But you know, I mean, I don't do as much local comedy. I do hardly any like local shows in DC. You know, I'll do the Arlington Draft House. I do the Bethesda Hyatt. But I've never heard of this guy. But he's,
I never heard of him either. I mean, there's this, I mean, you could tell that he doesn't really work clubs, because he actually said to the manager, he says, hey, how do I get to be the guy that calls out the names? And he said, I don't follow you. And I go, you mean the MC? He goes, yeah, the MC. I was like, okay. So
he doesn't know what an MC is.
I guess not.
That's crazy.
I know.
How does he know Tommy Davidson?
I don't even know if he knew him or one of, I don't know.
Is it a favor? But how much time do you do? If you're doing 15, he do 10?
He did 10 minutes every show.
Jeez, that's a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
That's as long. Did Talk have to do 5?
Well, on the early shows, because you know, when there's a late show, they don't want it to go late. Yeah. Talk would do 7, I would do 15. And then on the late shows or Sunday when it was only one show, he would do 10, I would do 20.
Jeez.
And Tommy was doing over an hour. And their shows were lasting. They were too long, in my opinion. But you know, I know that Tommy doesn't sell things, so I'm selling shirts and CDs and stuff. So I'm thinking that's good for me, that I'm the only one selling. Then I see this guy selling shirts. So I'm like, oh, God. And he's selling his for 10. I'm selling mine for 20. And he's saying he's going to give for breast cancer. And I'm making a point on stage as part of my pitch. I ain't giving nobody but me, right? But he was good at getting people to come over. And I made more selling merchandise than I did telling jokes.
Now, you have a shirt that says, it has one of your jokes on it. It says, once you go white, you'll still be tight. It says right. It on the shirt.
Yes.
Black people can't buy that shirt. And it's an 80% black crowd. Are black people buying a shirt that says, once you go white, you'll still be tight? Are they buying that shirt?
Yes. And that's that's the fascinating thing. Because when I got these shirts, that was one of the things. It's like, who is going to buy this? Is it the white guy? Is it the white girl? Is it a black person buying it as a joke for a white person? Is it a black girl buying it who dates white guys? I mean, who's the market? And It seems like everybody's buying them. So they're, but I'm in my pitch, you know, I say, look, it's a great gift for that white coworker that you hate. Because if it's an all black crowd, you know, I'll mention that. And, or if you're dating a white guy, but in it, I don't know who's buying it or why they're buying it. Some were buying it as a gift because there was a black guy who has a white wife. He says, I'm gonna get this for her brother. There was a black girl who dates white guys. She's going to get it for herself. But two people bought four shirts. But I sold like 30 shirts.
That's amazing, dude. That's $600,
yeah. Right? And a bunch of CDs. Yeah.
So I'm just trying to think. So if you are, and you buy this stuff where they're like, well, if black people can do it, I can. I don't feel that way. But I do think it's hilarious that a black person can buy a shirt and wear it. If I saw a black guy wearing a shirt that says, once you go white, you'll still be tight, of course, I would laugh because I'd know that's a Rob Mayer shirt.
Right.
But if I saw that, I'd laugh anyway. I'd be like, that's hilarious. But I could wear a shirt that says, once you go black, you'll never go back, which is a compliment, and somebody would have a problem with it.
Yeah.
You understand? Yeah. So black people can wear a shirt insulting white people. And white people can't wear a shirt complimenting black people.
Yeah, that seems
all right. Just trying to understand that. Okay.
That's totally the way it is. But it was, I really had no idea because I worked, you know, I'd sold these shirts basically twice, 2 weekends before when I headlined Magoobies, which is going to be mostly white. And I did okay there with shirts. And then when I was at the Hartford Funny Bone with a black headliner, but it was a very mixed audience and I did well. And here it's mostly black audience. Now, keep in mind, I'm crushing. Like,
right.
This is, and I've said this before, this is literally my best audience. It's Tommy Davis's audience. It's black. It's mixed, but it leans black. But it's older, too, because he's older. And it's people that grew up. It's people my age a lot of times.
They who watch In Living Color.
Right.
Yeah. People who saw, you know, Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls. That's the audience.
Exactly. So any crowd that's younger, black or white, is always going to be a little rowdier and more disruptive. And so you don't run into that. So it's a really perfect audience for me. And, of course, all my jokes, you know, about Tawanda are killing. But the Saturday night, of course, it was Halloween. And I opened every show with both shows with, hey, I see for Halloween you guys went as an almost entirely black audience. And I am terrified. So I've noticed that, like, we've always commented, if you're a black comic and the crowd is all white, there are things you can say and do that you're just going to crush it.
Yes, we've mentioned that there was a comic that came up and said, it's now the time for the affirmative action portion of the program. Now, the previous four comics were black, and he said that, which made no sense, and everybody cracked up.
Right. Well, I have tapped into this thing that I can, but I say things that are funny. But I get this credit for saying ballsy shit because I guess they just assume that a white person would be a white comic would be afraid of a mostly black audience.
Well, I also think that it's okay. Like I worked with Mickey Coachella, I don't know, 1,000 times, and he would get away with a lot of stuff. Now, he's a good comic. That's one of the reasons. But the other reason is he's 5'1".
Yeah. Now, that does help.
Yeah, and I think that your 5'1" is having a black girlfriend now.
But they don't know that yet. It's not like they know that when I walk out.
That's true. You're right about that. But I do think that that is something that obviously that works because it's hilarious. But also I think that they say, okay, I got it. We got it. This guy's, we like him.
Yeah, like, you know, the one show Saturday night, the two tables directly in front of me, row one table and then row two right behind it, were both empty. And they seat people based on when you bought your ticket. So if those people bought their ticket, no one gets that seat until they've shown up. So it's not like they left it on. They just didn't fill those seats for some weird reason. Whoever had bought those tickets, they're assigned that seat already. So I'm like 15 minutes in the show when I get up there and, you know, 10, 15. And I say, who wants to bet? Those people are black. They're late. Who wants to bet, right? $100. Who wants some? You know, they all laugh. 5 minutes later, black couple walks in.
Yeah, free laugh.
Down. Right.
He just crushes.
Boom.
Yeah.
Double or nothing. Who wants some? Who? I'm killing this thing. 5 minutes later, they come in. So it's that kind of thing. And they dig it. I mean, it was weird. There was this white woman had come out. And before the show had ended, I'm in the lobby just getting ready to sell stuff. And she goes, yeah, I was... you have a lot of balls. I was just scared just to be in there. I was like, why? I'm like,
she's
okay.
Like, oh, I'm a race. So good. You are.
I know. It was weird. And she goes, yeah, I'm here with my boyfriend. It's his birthday. I said, oh, do you want to buy him a shirt? She goes, nah, it's not really. It's ending soon. I'm like, okay. So yeah, good luck with that. And then last night, a lesbian couple walks out. They're leaving early. And it's her birthday. We're having a conversation. I said, oh, did you get some cake? Because they have like good desserts here. And she goes, her friend goes, her girlfriend says, no, but tonight she's getting some pie.
Ew.
I know. It was so.
I don't think it's ever appropriate for you to tell a stranger you're going to eat someone's vagina. I don't ever think it's appropriate. I'm not offended.
Right.
But it's the idea of you. By the way, the term pie for a woman's vagina, probably the most. I'd rather you say slit. I really would.
Right?
You think pie's got to be the worst. Pie. Oh, it's so gross.
Why? I like that. I like
you
pie.
You like for this. Oh, I can't wait to get some of that pie. Oh, really? I'm out in search of pie. Oh, it's so gross.
Do you think. So you're telling me you meet a girl on like Tinder or something or Match.com.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, keep talking.
And you're messaging. You're saying it would be more offensive for you to say, hey, I want to get some of your pie than I want in your slit.
Hmm. Well, I can't really speak.
They're both deal killers.
I can't speak on other people's behalf. But I will say that if I was on Tinder, yeah, and she said to me, you want some of this pie? I'd be like, oh, that's gross. Now, if she was super hot and I was single, yes, that wouldn't affect me at all.
What if she said, do you want some of these Skittles?
I'd say, yes, I've been there.
Let's take a break. We'll come right back. More pie talk. Rob and Joe Show.
Hi, this is Justin from the Justin Scott and Spiegel Morning Show, and I'm here to tell you about the most hysterical, amazing, and festive f-ing show I've ever had the privilege to be a part of. It's called A Merry Murder Mystery, another original, hilarious, interactive comedy whodunit from the guys who brought you The Last Laugh and The Newly Dead Game. I'll have a starring role, and if you're very, very lucky, you might play a part too. You might even be the murderer. There's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance, December 9th at the Arlington Cinema and Draft House. For upcoming show dates and more information, please visit facebook.com/dielaughingproductions or at robinjoe.com.
And now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
So Robbie, even though he's not here, is still producing. He called me Friday before he left, and he said, hey, here's something that might be good for the show. And he brought this little nugget to my attention. Joe, how old is Katie?
She's 25.
You know who has a 25-year-old daughter?
Can you give me a hint?
One Marcus Serta. How about that?
That's a pretty good hint. You do, Marcus?
I do.
Oh, how would you feel? Not me. Take me out of the equation.
No, we're going to put you in the equation.
Well, we can do that later.
Okay. All right. But, in general, right.
Yeah. Does she have a boyfriend?
She does. And she also has a 3-year-old son.
Is the boyfriend the dad?
Yes.
Okay. And how old is he?
I think he's the same age, 24, 25.
Are they engaged?
Supposedly.
Okay. Yeah. I knew how that is.
It's hard to keep up.
What if she said, Dad, you know what? This isn't working out. We're going in different directions. You know, we have different goals. And I don't see myself with him even in 5 years or 10 years. And I'm going to start dating.
I've heard this
and
already.
And I like older men. And she started dating let me ask you this way. At what age does your skin crawl? What age? Not 30. Obviously, 30 is fine.
Probably 50.
Really? 50, double her age?
Let's put this in perspective. I, in my own history, have dated somebody 15 years older than me, myself, and somebody 15 years younger than myself.
So what? I've done so much fucked up things. I can't then say it's okay for my kid to do it.
I'm not saying that it's... Well, look, I'm just one of those fathers that goes, how badly could she possibly screw it up? She can't screw it up any more than she's already screwed things up. So
what if you get a call from me and I say, Marcus, I just wanted to ask you first, is it okay if your daughter and I go out? We really like each other.
Here's my thing. The person that I'm speaking to, if I get to know that person, I will probably be less fearful of what the outcome is. Here's one of the issues. She's dating a kid. She's dating a guy same age. He doesn't talk. He's super shy to the point
you
where
won't have
he
that
won't
problem.
Even say
yeah,
hi.
I'll talk.
He
I'm not banging your daughter. No, I'm just kidding.
Eating my daughter's pie.
Too. He'll talk about Skittles.
The kid doesn't talk, so it's hard. So it's hard to get to know him. So therefore, when I hear things from my daughter about what's going on in their relationship, it bothers me greatly because I have no way of communicating with him. And
yeah, but it's one thing. If he, because being shy, it's not going to help you in the business world. It's not going to help you socially, but it doesn't make you a bad person, right?
Yeah, but he's not any fun. I mean, you
well,
want
is that
son-in-law?
Right. If Marcus says this is what's important to me in a son-in-law, I want him to be fun. Then yeah, you're right. That's not your guy. But wouldn't you say? Because when I think about whoever my kids are going to marry, the woman, I want her to be good to my son. I don't really give a shit whether or not he's fun. Now, if he is fun, I prefer that.
Right.
You know, my brother has dated some horrendous girls. I mean, horrendous. And they are difficult to be around for a multitude of reasons. But I've always said the same thing. Hey, if they love my brother and they're good to him, then I don't really care. I just don't want to spend any time with them. Is that your attitude towards him? Or you just genuinely just don't like the kid?
No, I would rather be able to have a normal conversation with them, and you just can't. There's no allowing a warming period. I can't warm up to the kid. He's not warming up to me. He doesn't loosen up.
Are you guys ever sitting in the same room together alone?
Naked in a sauna?
No, seriously. Are you guys, is it just you and him? Like everybody's like, well, I'll help you get the food ready. And they walk out. It's just you two just sitting there. Does that happen?
We did early on when my daughter found out she was pregnant, but he doesn't break out of his shell. And when you ask him questions, it's like talking to a teenager. Fine. Yes. No.
Is he like that in general or just around you? Is he intimidated by you?
My understanding is this is the way he is normally, except with his family and my daughter.
Okay.
So when he's around you, he gives you one word answers.
Correct.
And then you go to your daughter and you go, I fucking hate this guy. She goes, no, that's not him. He's nice. Is that what happens?
No. And let's go back to something you said earlier. Again, if my daughter reports that he is good to her, and that's great. And I'm getting that from her. But I'd really like to be able to hear some things from him in order for me to feel more confident about how he's going to interact. Because there have been moments in their relationship where it's been off and on and up and down. And so I look at the long term and I'm fearful for my daughter and the relationship she's in. And that's the honest truth. And I think she knows that. But they are doing their fair best. So I just kind of go along with the ride. But I'd rather, much rather, have the relationship that I have with my father-in-law where he and I hang out with
him. Yeah, of course. We're sitting around naked. He's taking you to these Russian bathhouses.
Yeah.
Well, okay, Marcus. Let's get to the real questions here. Who would you rather have date your daughter, me or Joe?
Oh, that's a difficult question. You know what? I'm going to say I'm going to go with Joe. And the reason I'm going to pick Joe is I think Joe is more stable.
Yes.
Financially stable.
Just do horrible things to her, though, Marcus. You got to think about that.
I got plans, dude.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, here's the big reason right here, because I know that in a conversation, Rob is more likely to say, I'm going to eat her pie.
He is. I'm never going to say that.
Exactly. So, Joe, you're the winner.
Well, thank you, Marcus.
All right.
I appreciate that.
That's what I want you to do.
That came as a complete shock, by the way. But
I want you to take all these people, and I want you to rank them from you'd be the most okay to least okay with dating your
daughter. I like where you're going.
Uh-oh. So myself, Joe Robinson, Mermelstein, Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, Rob Spiewak.
Robbie Robinson. Can we add Robbie Robinson?
And we can add Robbie Robinson.
Wow.
I think Mike's O'Mara is the number, the last one because of the age. You said over 50.
No, I actually put Oscar on the bottom of the list.
On the bottom?
Yeah, I put Oscar on the bottom of the list. I put Mike comes just above Oscar.
Hold on, before you go, why is Oscar at the bottom of the list?
If you were to listen to the show on a regular basis, he can tend to sound very misogynistic.
He can. Yeah, he
and so therefore, that's not the kind of guy I'd want around my daughter. Where I think Mike, especially in his current marriage, he's much more the family man.
All right, I get you.
So I could give some flexibility on the age. Then probably Robbie Robinson, just above that.
Oh, but, I can't believe, but man, see, if Mermelstein beats me, oh, man, he already just beat Robbie.
Yeah.
Well, I have to let me take this back. Mike O'Mara's got to go above Robbie, actually.
Okay.
So then is going to be Mermelstein.
Right.
Then who have I got left? I've got Joe, Rob.
And Spiewak.
And Rob. And
Spiewak. Okay. So then comes Rob because he can't commit.
Okay. Yep.
Joe, you can commit and you're going to be respectful because you won't talk about my daughter's pie.
Yeah.
So on top has to be Rob Spiewak, because again, if you were to listen to the Mike O'Mara show, you would understand what kind of family man he is.
Dude, I listened to the Don and Mike show for years. I know exactly what kind of guy he is.
Yeah, no, that's a good choice. He's the nicest guy out of all.
He's definitely the nicest guy out of everybody you mentioned.
So
how about this?
On top of the list, Rob Spiewak gets to tap my daughter.
I'm going to add one more name.
Go ahead.
Laura Reuter.
Laura's just under Rob Spiewak.
You too. She'll talk, but she'll have bad things to say to you.
Exactly.
Well, thank you, Marcus. See, there you go.
No problem.
Now I'm interested in meeting your daughter. All right.
Feel free. Come on up. Do a show.
Yeah. Jill, you did a lot better there than I thought you would.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it doesn't surprise me that I was above you. Because right. We've been talking about, you know, your inability to commit. You've been in a long relationship, you know, also.
But I have an ability to make children, supposedly.
Yeah, that's true. Do you want grandkids? Oh, you have one. Well, he already has grandkids. With this kid that won't talk to him.
Didn't need it in the first place. Don't need more.
All right.
No. Hey, does the kid talk more than the adult?
Oh, yes.
Right. Do you like the kid?
Oh, he's great. Tate is wonderful. He's a great little kid. I love him.
All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back. I think we finally ended the Ravens curse, Joe Robinson. Rob and Joe Show. Be right back.
Once You Go White, Rob Mayer's newest CD is now available.
It's exciting. Almost had a threesome last week. Clap for me. Almost had a threesome. Give it for me. Thank you. Thank you. I was one girl away. One girl away. I was two, whatever, but I was in the ballpark. Yeah.
Recorded live at the Riot Act Comedy Theater in Washington, D.C., Once You Go White features an hour of hilarious, life-changing comedy.
As a kid, the worst Christmas gift ever was always the Radio Shack remote control car. Remember that piece of crap? It's attached to a cord. Oh, wow, I control it for 10 feet. This is awesome. I'm gonna go take my Corvette for a walk now. So
get your copy today or download it now on CD Baby, iTunes, and at robmayer.com.
Yeah, that was f***ed up. All right.
Okay. And now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
As you guys know, Joe has been doing the post game with myself, Tommy Simbazo, for the Baltimore Ravens. They were 1-6 going into yesterday's game, and all six of those losses were games where we five of the losses we did a post game. They had never won a game in which we did the post game. Well, yesterday they finally won a game, we got to do a post game. So
can I say something? The last show that we did together, mm-hmm. I had mentioned that they were losing all these games by one score or less. I was mentioning that.
Yes.
And you chastised me. You said, "I you know, I'm tired of you saying that. Yeah, you didn't think it was significant." And I told you to shut up, that it was my show, and I'll say whatever the hell I want. That was
We've been disagreeing a lot. Yeah.
Right, right. But the point is that then an article came out after I said that, and it basically corroborated everything that I had said, that the Ravens at 1-6 were the best team after 7 weeks with the worst record in the NFL in history. Never before had a team lost all of their games by one score or less. That had never happened in the history of football.
Okay.
So it matters. It does matter.
No, it does. No, it makes look. Yeah, you're gonna. You
well,
can
they're
be
competitive.
The,
is the point? They're yes, not they're a team that's getting rolled over.
They're gonna be the best 4-12 team of all time.
Right. But again, you're, I mean, it doesn't matter in that who gives a shit, right? You're gonna miss the playoffs anyway. I right. get that, right? But this team is a good team. Yeah, no, they're no, not a no. bad team. They're not.
They're not a good team, Joe. They're
you're right. Sick. Good is not the right thing to say. But, okay, then this is the best way to say it. Their record does not reflect the ability of this team to win.
They're better than their record.
Okay, that's the way. That's what I want to say.
Okay.
But anyway, there's no curse. We discussed that before the show even started. When we were talking about a jinx, about some other jinx that you were telling me about.
Well,
there's no
also,
such thing as jinxes and curses. They're not real.
2 weeks ago, when the last time we spoke on this, because we didn't do a post game last week, because it was a Monday night game, you had had some issues with the producer, and we were debating whether you were going to air these frustrations to him. Where did that end up?
Well, I didn't air them to him. I aired them to the powers that be. And what I basically just said is, I go, listen, this has to be different. We have to do this. We have to do that. This, I have to be able to record breaks. I have to be able to take phone calls, blah, blah, blah. We have some time to fix it because we're going to be mothers. And the person I spoke to said, yes, you're 100% right. And then when, I don't know if you heard, the same person was on the board again. And he said, hey, this is going to be a good show. We got no problem. So I guess somebody did get in his ear.
Well, you were really angry yesterday because the way the post game is supposed to work, the game ends for about a half hour, 35 minutes. The network feed, which is the play-by-play, the analysts, they're doing locker room interviews, wrapping up the game. So it's still essentially their broadcast. And then the second that ends and they say, all right, final up here in Baltimore, 29-26, Ravens get a win. Next week they play so-and-so, this for Baltimore Ravens Radio, yada, yada, whatever. And then the very next thing is supposed to be
me.
You, because yes. If they play a song, people think, oh, well, football's over, back to music. They turn the channel if they want more football, or they just get into that mode of music and they start to not think about football. Well, again, for the fourth straight time, it went from the network feed to Led Zeppelin.
Yeah. Yep.
And you were like cursing. You were upset.
Oh, I was so pissed. And I said that, and he goes, well, I'm going to play another song. And I go, don't play another fucking song. We're going to come at it. Yeah, I was really mad because it was, listen, I agree. This is the, by the way, this is not my idea. This is the program director's idea. He's 100% right.
Yeah, no, it's a good idea. Yeah.
Of course it's a good idea. And I'm like, absolutely. Well, that has to be relayed to the person running the board. We cannot play a song. We can't do it. And now we've done it, what, 3 weeks in a row?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that was bad. And that's the one thing that I will say. By the way, the show was great. I think it was the best show that we had.
Yeah, I had to leave a little early because I had to go down to the improv to do my last show of the week. But for the first hour, I thought it went really well.
Now, I don't know if you listened on the way to D.C., but
I did. Yeah.
Did you hear when they brought on the girls and I just shit on them for them giving me people that didn't watch the game? Did you?
I missed that part.
So that's what I'm good at, right?
Yes.
Harassing people and belittling people and berating.
Which is why Marcus wants you to date his daughter.
Right, right. That's right. Why isn't this house clean? You get your pie in there and you know. So the show was outstanding. But again, you don't know, are people listening? Because again, the music comes on, they go, oh, good, I want to hear music. Oh, now these guys are talking. Oh, that's not what I want to hear. Or, oh, there's music, no more Ravens. I'll turn over to 1090 where they're talking about the Ravens. So yeah, it is frustrating. And I will say something to Rick, and I'm gonna say, look, you gotta make now we gotta buy. So that's great. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say, look, you know, that's great that we have this idea that we're going to come out of the network feed and straight into sports. Well, other people have to know about that other than me. You know, the people have to be on board. So because we discussed it, because I don't call up, you know, the person that's running the board and say, hey, are we making sure there's no song?
Right.
Hell, we don't even see the clock. We don't even see. There's this.
It's chaotic when we're not in studio.
It is. But you get to see what's coming up when there's stop breaks and so forth. We couldn't even see that. That wasn't even available to us. So we're flying by. Next thing you know, I'm hearing a song. And then I flip. I snap.
Let's a couple things on the murder mystery. Do you want to tell the Scott Apple story about how you got angry at him for agreeing with me on something? Remember that?
Veto? Oh, yes, yes. So, well, I mean, it's I don't know how it's going to translate, but we're filming something for we had filmed something for the newest murder mystery. We had to film several office parties in order to show a video at the beginning of our next murder mystery, basically to show each Christmas party for the last 5 years. Well, we're, you know, you're spitballing, you're throwing ideas around. I go, hey, let's go. That we're actually, it's all Die Hard themes.
It's an ode to Die Hard.
Yeah, we're, the name of the company is what, Nakatomi Industries or something
Nakatomi
like that.
Nakatomi Consulting.
Right, Nakatomi Consulting. And I go, hey, let's all put our hands and go, Nakatomi. And you go, no, that's a bad idea. And Scott goes, yeah, that's a bad idea. Now, if you say it's a bad idea, I'm like, okay, if you think it's a bad idea. But I don't need fucking Scott Apple, who's never said anything funny on purpose in his entire life, telling me that he thinks that I have a bad idea. So it is funny that you said it. I was fine with it. But milliseconds later, I get it from Scott Apple, and I literally go, shut up, Scott. I do. Now, let me also say this. Our last murder mystery, which was the funniest one that we had had.
Yes.
We have yet to have a better performance than we had two Sundays ago. Mm-hmm. Scott Apple, he didn't think it was that funny.
What?
Not kidding. Everybody that left loved it, said it was how great it was. He goes, it was okay. I go, Scott, you didn't. He goes, no, it was. I didn't say it was bad. It was okay.
Well, now that he's, you know, part of this video for the next one, I feel like he has some ownership in this. He can start to critique things.
Well, now he's not. No, he doesn't even get to talk to me anymore. He's not even allowed in my office. But the big news, the huge news. Now we have a lot of shows coming up. We also have shows in great rooms. Still, the Arlington Draft House, December 9th with the Christmas show. We also have McGoobies on a Saturday, the day after Christmas, when there's nothing to do. There's nothing to do the day after Christmas. We're going to have a show, hopefully two shows that day, but we're definitely having one murder mystery that day. We're also playing, I don't know the details of this yet because there's a membership to this, but the Boomy Temple, and that's in Baltimore, right?
Yeah, it's outside of Baltimore. It's the Shriners, basically, is what they are.
Right.
It's December 19th. It's a huge, it's a beautiful venue.
Now, we're also playing, is it AMP or AMP? Is it AMP?
I don't know. I don't know if it's AMP by Strathmore AMP. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a Strathmore room. It's in Bethesda, but it's called AMP. We're playing that February 13th. So if you saw on Saturday, you want to celebrate Valentine's Day on a non-school night, you can take your significant other to that show if you're near Bethesda. Or, and this is such a great get for us, we are playing the Ram's Head in Annapolis. Now, I've on February 14th on Valentine's Day, and I've been in that room multiple times for multiple shows.
We've actually done comedy in that room.
I've done comedy in there. I've seen Colin Hay in there. I saw Matthew Sweet in there. I've seen the Smithereens in there. I mean, I've been in there a zillion times, and it
beautiful
is a
venue.
Great venue. It's right by where I grew up. And we will be playing that room on February 14th, Valentine's Day. And
do you want to tell the story how that came about? Pull back the curtain on that a little.
Yeah, and this is this isn't great. Probably I did an appearance for 98 Rock at Union Jack's in Annapolis, and several months ago, I asked the program director at 98 Rock if he had any influence at the Ram's Head and if he could, you know, get some of his contacts and see if we could do the murder mystery there. And he reached out to him and they go, oh yeah, we're interested. And Steve said, well, okay, we'll talk to Joe Robinson moving forward. And then I emailed him, okay, I'm ready to talk. Nothing. Tried him again a couple months later. Nothing. Tried him again. Nothing. I never got a hold of him. So now I'm at Union Jack's. I'm talking to the owner and I was telling him about the murder mystery. Of course, I emailed him the last time. He didn't respond. So when I saw him again, I go, hey, is there interest? He goes, there is. Email me again. So I email him. And he says, yeah, come down and we'll talk about doing this thing. So I go down to Annapolis and I booked a murder mystery there. When I say I booked it, we picked a date and I said, all right, well, I'll send you.
Agreed on a date.
Right. We agreed on a date. So I go back to my computer and I'm like, you know what? Let me just fire one more shot over the bow of the Ram's Head. Sure enough, as soon as I sent it to them, they said, yes, we're interested.
Because Union Jack's is a very nice venue, but Ram said this is what they do. They have live entertainment. So it's a more natural fit.
3 miles apart.
Yeah.
It's not like they're, you know.
Oh, yeah, they're neighbors. Yeah.
So I had to call back, you know, and I said to her, and what I basically said, and I didn't want to do this because it makes you look a certain way. And so I said, look, I just want to give you guys one more opportunity because we picked another, we have another venue that wants to book us. And they said, no, we want to book you. So I ended up having to go back to Union Jacks and saying, hey, look, I have a proximity and a date issue, which I do.
And who did we get that date from? Because there were two other acts that they were
looking for. Oh, yeah. So, and this is great. They had a hold for two other acts for Valentine's Day. One is Graham Nash of Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And he I don't know that he got bumped.
He probably
and the other one is Eric Burden from The Animals, House of the Rising Sun, right? Spill the Wine. And both of those guys said, nope, go ahead and give it to the Murder Mystery. And now we're doing that date. That's an exciting room and an exciting date. And if you're a listener of the show and a fan of this show, we've asked you guys to come to the Murder Mystery. It's almost annoying to me because it's almost like, hey, do us this favor. This show is fucking fantastic.
It really is.
It is so funny. And, you know, whoever shows up loves it, unless you're Scott Apple, but he's an idiot. And it's just so great and so funny. So if you're in the area, and it's a kind of a cool thing to do on Valentine's Day. Yeah, I guess you can take
it. Yeah, we're doing the Newly Dead game. It has a couple's theme to it, so it's a natural fit for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, and I'm sure you can take your girl to dinner and go home and bang her. That's fine. But if you do this, you know, then it's something special. Like, oh, remember when we went to that murder mystery and it was so hilarious, and then you went home and you let me eat your pie. That's going to be a whole different.
Hey, one more name into the ring there, Marcus. Scott Apple. as a radio guy, a music guy,
he comes just above Oscar Santana because I can't have anybody who's just so just
well
dumb.
I can tell you this, Marcus, you can talk to Scott Apple. He will not shut up. You will 100% talk to Scott Apple.
Yeah, but we can't talk music, we can't talk movies, we can't talk pop culture,
because
he has absolutely nothing. He doesn't do anything, obviously.
Now, I actually love Scott Apple. I know I give him a lot of crap, but let me tell you what Scott Apple does. I think I said this already on the show. Every morning, every morning when I come into work, I sit down in my office, and if I were to go 5, 4, 3, 2.
It's like Kramer coming into Jerry.
In comes Scott Apple, and he sits down in the chair in front of my desk, and he sits there for 1 hour. And that happens every single morning. And he says stuff to me like, so what'd you do last night? So what do you got planned for this weekend? Scott Apple has literally spent an entire day working with me. And let's say I come in at 8. At noon, we'll go to lunch and he'll go, so what's going on? I'm like, Scott, well, you've been with me all day. What do you mean?
Sounds like what Katie does, too.
Yes, they all do that.
They all do that. That's the show, folks. Hopefully next week we'll have an update from Robbie taking over Taiwan. They got to hate him over there.
I wonder if he could ruin relations with Taiwan.
I don't think that's possible. But if anyone can... He can. So that's the show. Again, thank you for the iTunes love and the Facebook love. Please give more of that. And like our Die Laughing Productions Facebook page, just facebook.com/Die Laughing Productions for all the murder mystery news. Marcus, awesome job. Good.
Thank you, Marcus.
No problem. And just as a production note, because again, next week, Robbie will not be around, so we will not be doing the show live next week. But when Robbie comes back, we'll be back to being live like it is every week.
Yes. Eric, the actor, no way he heard that because he's not listening. We'll see you next week.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.